All right, for those of you thinking about the afternoon trip home, for the first time this month, the MBTA trolley and subway services are pretty much up and running.
MBTA General Manager Beverly Scott was jubilant this morning when she spoke to WBUR's Bob Oakes.
Let me tell you, I think that OT is trying to roar back over here. So our maintenance team has just been working, oh my God, 360 around the clock. And so even in terms of our car counts, which are still down some, but the service level, which is critical for our customers, is also coming back very, very well.
But while the T's darkest days this winter might be behind it, and let's all knock on wood for that, many people are now wondering, what will it take to fix the T? Now, a lot of experts have said more money, and we've had discussions about the T's financial woes on this program, but right now we want to talk more specifically about what that money should or could buy. So let me just offer this hypothetical question. If somehow the T did receive a major cash infusion, what should it buy? How should it be used? What are the key management decisions that could be made to make the T a world-class weatherproof system? Well, joining us to take a look at some of these questions is Terrence Regan. He's a professor of urban transportation and policy at Boston University. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Also with us is Jeremy Mendelson. He's the co-founder of the blog Transit Matters, which advocates for better transit in Boston. Jeremy, welcome to you.
Thank you, Magna. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let me just briefly start with you, because on the Transit Matters blog, you put up basically an emergency plan for the MBTA. We can talk long-term purchases later, but can you just give me the quick headline on, in an ideal system, if there were the money, what would the emergency plan you would have liked to see be implemented in this spate of horrible weather we've had?
Sure. So this was a crisis that we had in the city of Boston starting about a couple weeks ago. And when we found that it was going to take up to 30 days to get back to the normal levels of service, it became apparent that, you know, people aren't getting to work. The economy is essentially going to collapse if we're not going to do something about it. So what I was talking about was looking at the possibility of basically issuing a call to other transit agencies in other cities and saying, you know, give us some buses and we can create some bus priority corridors and
right.
We can implement restrictions on vehicles coming into the city, set up places where they can get, HOV lanes and places mm-hmm. where people can get more people in their cars and sort of emergency measures to basically substitute for the T.
Now, is there any place that had actually in reality done something like this? I mean, I think if I remember correctly after Hurricane Sandy, that this is what they did, in New York City necessarily?
Yes,
right?
That's correct. And after Hurricane Sandy, New York City's subways were completely knocked out. All of the tunnels under the East River were flooded. And so the MTA got 200 buses, actually 400 buses, and they implemented two what they call bus bridges of just shuttling people from Brooklyn and Manhattan in two different places. And just they set up emergency bus lanes, just put down cones, and they had police directing traffic and allowing the buses through. And they just went all out because they said, you know, this is how we have to move people. You couldn't drive your car over there either because there was no gas anywhere.
Right, right. So, Terrence Regan, you're a professor of urban transportation at BU. I mean, first of all, just your quick reaction to this. Would more money buy the MBTA an opportunity to have better emergency planning for major events like the weather?
Well, certainly more money would do us all good. But I think the problem is not responding to an emergency, but realizing that this problem's been decades in the making, and we really need to kind of look more long-term rather than focus on the emergency aspects,
okay,
I think.
Okay, so give us the top thing that, and again, this is hypothetical, right? Because I just don't want to get bogged down in the fact that a lot of people have said, yes, the T needs more money. Okay, so hypothetically, if we were to get that more money, what would you spend it on? What's the most important thing?
The most important thing is state of good repair, which the MBTA has an asset management plan. We ought to be looking at that and programming it. You know, for example, the oldest cars on the Red Line are 45 years old. The average expected life of a rail car should be about 25. They have gone out now to buy new ones, but maybe we should have done that earlier. Mm-hmm. So things as simple as working on switches and heaters for switches are the kinds of places that I think we ought to be putting our money.
Right. I mean, the criticism of that is that it's not as sexy as, say, wanting to expand the T service to the South Shore or further into Somerville, things like that, which has long also been what many people have called for, that in order for us to have a world-class system, we have to think about expansion at the same time.
But I think first we have to make sure we do what we do well. So, you know, let's look at our existing system. Let's make sure it works. Let's invest in that. And I also think the other main thing we need to do is regain the public's confidence in how they're spending their money. Mm-hmm. I think there probably needs to be better communication in terms of telling the public where all the money goes.
Mm. So you want more transparency then over throughout in terms of T spending?
Sure. Well, and to let the public better understand everything that goes into providing a rail system. Mm-hmm. It's not just making sure that you have a Green Line car, but there are a lot of components involved in making sure a transit system works.
Okay. So, Jeremy, let me come to you. You've got the blog Transit Matters. Do you think that focusing all the attention initially, if we had the money, on achieving a state of good repair is the best way to go, or in order to have the transit system that the region deserves, we should be sort of simultaneously thinking about expansion as well?
Right. Well, I agree with Professor Regan that, you know, state of good repair has to be top priority. I mean, we have, you know, broken switches, signals all over the place. And, you know, but we also need to look at capacity. And our system, our ridership on the rail has gone up 30% in the past 10 years, and we have almost exactly the same level of service. So we need to look at focusing on capacity of the systems that we do have, and then we can look at targeted expansion. There are certain projects that, you know, would reduce operating costs over the long term, and we need to look at things like that.
Mm-hmm. So new trains would be ideal. What about the condition of the rails themselves?
Well, that's one of the main problems they've had. We have an aging infrastructure. That's just part of living in New England. We've had the older system. It has served us well for a long time, but it really does require constant maintenance and upgrade.
Mm. I wonder, I always like to learn from examples. So are there, if you were to point to a city anywhere in the world that Boston or Greater Boston, the MBTA, could aim to emulate, I mean, you've been around the world looking at transit systems, Professor. What city would you pick?
Well, you know, the problem is Boston is a size in which it is not a London, it's not a Paris, it's not a New York. In terms of the United States, I think if you look at other transit systems, I think Chicago does a very good job. I think if you look at other peers, I'm very interested in what Denver does.
Mm-hmm.
Denver has it goes out to the public often for votes in terms of what kinds of transit they should have, what kind of expansions. And they also are constantly looking at how do they keep their costs low.
Okay. And how are they doing this when it seems like a lot of people would criticize the T exactly for not doing those things?
Well, for example, one of the things that Denver does is they contract out a number of their buses to the private sector and allow the regular operators to also bid on that so that they get more competition into the bidding of how you operate a bus.
I see, because right now the only place where there's any sort of competition like that in the MBTA is the commuter rail.
Correct.
Right.
And that's a long-term contract.
Right, and the commuter rail is struggling now just as much as any of the other lines as well. I mean, we just got a couple seconds to go. So, Jeremy, I want to wrap up with you. I mean, do you think that, or do you hope that the recent spate of huge troubles that T has been having will signal a turning point for the MBTA, or as a longtime T-rider, do you worry that we'll go back to the status quo?
Well, that's what I'm afraid of, but I really hope so, because even if you never use the T, the T is still the lifeblood of the economy, and everybody who, you know, you depend on, who needs to get to work, is depending on it. So I really hope that now is the time that we have this conversation.
Well, Jeremy Mendelson is co-founder of the Transit Matters blog. There's a link to it at our website, radioboston.org. Jeremy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Terry Regan, professor of urban transportation and policy at Boston University. Wonderful to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR News Station. I'm Lisa Mullins.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.